This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Casinos mean big money for the people who own them. We all know that. But the Harris Cherokee Casino also means big money for Western North Carolina. Apparently, a new report by UNC researchers shows that the operation pours more than $380 million into the local economy. It makes up 5% of the local employment picture there and has improved life expectancy, poverty rates, and even education in that area, which would not be bad for a place that began humbly in 1997 as a bingo operation and is now the biggest tourist attraction in the state. Joining us now by phone is Jim Johnson. He's director of Urban Investment Strategy Center. He's also a distinguished professor at the Kenan Flagler Business School at UNC Chapel Hill. Co-author of the report, Assessing the Economic and Non-Economic Impacts of Harris Cherokee Casino. Jim, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit more about this report. Give us the overview. What'd you find?
Well, as you stated in your introductory remarks, we found that the casino is a major economic engine in a region of the state of North Carolina that it has historically lagged behind the rest of the state, and it has improved the quality of life of the residents, created enormous employment for the local residents, not just on in the Qualla boundary of the eastern band of the Cherokee Indians, but in the much broader region. It has attracted over 3.6 million visitors to the casino on an annual basis. And I think the big thing is not just the general revenue that is generated by the casino, but how the revenue is redistributed to the members of the Eastern Band of the Cherokee, to direct revenue impacts on families, the money that is allocated to the Cherokee Preservation Foundation, which in turn is used to further develop the regional economy, the dollars, the $51 million invested in the Cherokee Preservation Foundation and the over 600 grants that they have made, the dollars invested in the various nonprofit organizations in the community.
Well, I want to hear more about that distribution, too. First of all, $380 million, is that every year?
That was the average, yes, the annual contribution.
So some of it goes to foundations that can then give grants. What about the families? How does that work?
They get a direct contribution from the revenues. About half of the money that goes to the Eastern Band of the Cherokees is directly redistributed to the members of the Eastern Band of the Cherokee. There are about 14,500 members of the tribe.
And when you talk about the quality of life, things like improved life expectancy and poverty rates, how do you even measure that, and how is it reflected in the area?
Well, you are able to estimate per capita income and income coming into families, and then you compare that with some baseline estimates of in the local region and the surrounding regions of the Qualla boundary and the like, and we see these marked improvements in per capita income, and there's evidence from other studies quite unrelated to the casino that shows that at the point in time the money began to be redistributed, we see improved parent-children interactions, reduced behavioral problems with kids, and things of that nature that signal improvements in the quality of life in the local community.
So you've got the correlation now, and then are you able to make the – and I know that this is always a difficult thing to do. Are you able to actually make the connection then with the increase in income?
Well, we think we're able to do that based on the kind of regional analyses that we did of looking at the impacts in the local region vis-a-vis communities that are progressively further and further away from the casino and thus its impact in the community.
And who commissioned the report?
The report was commissioned by the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians to Cherokee Preservation Foundation, the Casino, and Advantage West Regional Partnership.
Tell us a little bit about the casino's history, how and when it began, what things looked like then, and how it's changed.
Well, it was of course, it was an economically depressed region before the casino was introduced into the region, and it goes back to the introduction of legislation at the federal level, the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act of 1988, which paved the way for the Eastern Band to leverage gaming for tribal and regional economic development. Following the passage of that law, the Eastern Band entered a pact with the state of North Carolina and opened the casino on November 13, 1997, roughly 14 years ago. The casino is owned by the Eastern Band and managed by Haras. The casino includes about 120,000 square feet of gaming space. It has retail shops, restaurants, three hotel towers, 15,000 square foot conference center, and a 3,000 square foot event center. So it is much more than just a gaming facility. It is kind of a recreation entertainment destination, which is why, you know, it is one of the largest tourist attractions in North Carolina. So,
and does most of the money that goes through the place come from elsewhere?
It comes from outside of the state, actually, from Tennessee and Georgia, mostly.
Is there anything about then, you talked about the Gaming Act, and we know that Native Americans have a unique legal status in this country. Is there anything about those two special cases that make the way this money is distributed different from what might happen in a casino elsewhere, Atlantic City or something like that?
Well, I think that it is different because there's a tribal levy in lieu of sales tax, and, you know, the way the money is allocated to the tribe, the tribal pack, that says that, you know, a certain proportion of the money has to go to the local citizenry. A certain proportion of the money goes to support the local government of the Eastern Band. And they have been very savvy and smart business people in developing a business strategy for expansion and constantly reinventing the industry itself to attract over the long haul and long term, a growing, business clientele. So I think as the casino has evolved, we've seen the Cherokee Indians become more savvy and sophisticated in developing a world-class facility that attracts a broader and larger audience.
Now, we're talking about $380 million a year on average, roughly, that stays there. How much do they make all together, and where does the rest of the money go?
Well, I think, the money, again, they reinvest part of the money in the expansion. There's a current expansion underway with additional development that's supposed to open next year. I think, you have to look at the multiplier effects of the money that goes into employees. They in turn spend money in the local economy, the money that they invest with contractors and subcontractors to do the building and development, land development, and the actual physical structures that they're putting up. That has a direct economic impact and an indirect impact because those people spend money in the economy that in turn generates additional jobs, additional taxes and revenues and the like. So,
any idea what the total annual revenue is for Haras?
I don't have that figure in front of me, and I don't have the report in front of me. I'm sorry, I don't. It's not trivial. It's a pretty substantial sum. I just don't have it in front of me. Sorry.
There are those who worry a little bit about gambling in general, whether it's sustainable. It's sort of very susceptible to whatever's happening in the economy. And then there are the moral questions. Are there downsides to basing an economy on casino gambling?
Oh, I think certainly, you're at the whims of business cycles. I mean, we've seen some decrease in the amount of money. It peaked around 2007, and is down a little bit due to the recession. But I think that there's a very substantial population in this country that are recreational gamblers or gamers, and I think that what the Cherokee Eastern Band has done is tapped into that market, and I suspect you're going to see these kinds of facilities, not just the gaming, but broader kinds of entertainment complexes like this grow, particularly regional ones, because as the economic downturn occurs, I think you're going to find more people taking advantage of local entertainment complexes that they can access by car or by bus, as opposed to having to get on a plane and fly to New Jersey or Las Vegas or something like that. So in the real sense, it's an intervening opportunity in the marketplace, and I think with the aging of the boomer population and extended life expectancies of the 65-plus population, I think there are lots of people who view it as a recreational opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then when you add mm-hmm. all the other kinds of facilities, the convention center mm-hmm. and the entertainment complex and the like, it is much broader than just the gaming now. So I think it's a smart business practice, and it's not just the gaming, but a much broader set of opportunities. And right. in many respects, it can be even viewed as a family-oriented center.
Right. Jim, thanks so much for talking with us. Mm-hmm. Jim Johnson, director of the Urban Investment Strategy Center and distinguished professor at the Kenan Flagler Business School at UNC Chapel Hill, co-author of the report Assessing the Economic and Non-Economic Impacts of Harris Cherokee Casino in North Carolina. Just ahead, find out what happens when you cross the Rock and Sound to Queen with the North Carolina Symphony. You'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.